Welcome aboard, Captain.
Welcome back to Star Trek Minute, the semi-daily podcast where we analyze and discuss Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, 1 minute at a time. I'm one of your hosts, Chris LaSalle.
I must be your other co-host, David Stoker.
Hey, Dave.
Chris, how's it going?
Pretty good. I was trying to think of something clever there at the intro and couldn't do it. I'm too distracted by this minute.
So you had mentioned, I think last minute, that this sequence is one of your most favorite sequences in all of Star Trek.
Yeah.
The end of this minute is probably one of my favorite lines and delivery of lines in the entire series.
Oh, can I guess what it is?
Of course you can.
It's Torg saying, "It is the only thing speaking?"
And it is not.
All right. Damn. Okay, well, hold on. Before we... Let's tell everybody what we're talking about. We're talking about minute 75 of The Search for Spock. And minute 75 starts with the Klingon boarding party beaming onto the Enterprise and ends a minute later with Krug yelling something at the top of his lungs.
That he is.
All right. So we did talk about the Enterprise crew and the Klingon crew swapping places on the transporter pad, but so they did make it. Their technologies aligned. They didn't beam into one another.
They did not.
One thing I noticed and that I've never noticed before is that the Klingon, they all have different weapons. Well, not all have different weapons, but there's like handheld disruptors, and then there's like machine gun looking or rifle
style.
Yeah, they look like they're. Which do you prefer? Do you have a preference? I've never noticed it before, so I'm always thinking that it's like Torg's handheld, the pistol version of the disruptor. It's
right.
The same one that that Krug pulled out on Torg earlier and says one more thing.
Right.
That's my favorite. These rifle machine. They look too much like machine guns to me. They look like machine guns.
So I don't necessarily like the rifle in the Star Trek universe. I've always been in favor of the handheld, either it's the phaser or the disruptor or one-handed weapon. Mm. You got to go with the one-handed weapon.
You know something? You hit the nail on the head because I can't think of a single rifle-style weapon that's cool. And I'm going like all the way back to, the original pilot of the original series, wasn't there like some ridiculous, it looked like a, 1950s ray gun,
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But the ones of the next generation were ridiculous looking and they've never made a cool one.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the rifle in the Star Trek universe. They just have not made it cool.
Yeah.
It's like the casual wear of Star Trek. It's just not cool.
Just not cool. It makes me think of, just other I'm kind of running like other shows through my head. Like, do you remember the I'm going to call them phasers, but I don't know what they were called in Space 1999.
I don't remember what they were called.
Yeah. But they had like, it was like a grip. They would hold a grip. But then there was like another almost looked like a secondary grip that would go in front of their hand. It just had a really cool look. And I remember having that. I had that toy as a kid. It was one of those disc shooters. Plastic disc.
Yep.
That one was awesome. I'm also thinking of those cool, again, I'm going to use all the wrong terms, blasters, phasers, the robots in the black hole, like the Sentry robots. You remember those things? They were
the top and the bottom. Yeah,
yeah,
those were cool.
Those were cool.
Vincent and Bob. Well, Vincent and Bob were the little robots, but the guards. Yeah,
the guards. Yeah. Do you have any other favorites? Do you have favorite blasters?
I would have to say my favorite blaster has probably got to be Han Solo's.
Yeah.
From Star Wars. It's got to be my favorite, weapon from sci-fi.
So that would be like your number one, your top five. That's your number one.
I would say that's probably my number one. I just think it looks so cool.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I agree with you there. I had that one too. I had like the Kenner toy, whatever. When the original one,
yep.
That was black. You know, it was the same color. It wasn't bright orange.
Yep.
And it made that really weird noise when you pressed it. Like
yep.
Meow. And I think, yeah, I think I would agree with you there, number one. I think number two would be the original series phaser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, digression. I'm just like, oh, now I want to collect all these toys again. I really want I want that disc shooter.
I mean, it makes me think about that. Like all those multicolored discs that you popped in there.
Yeah, they were so much fun.
Yeah, they were. Those were awesome.
All right.
So this Beeman with Torg and the boys,
yep.
It literally makes me think of, when I look at them, it makes me think of like a 70s heavy metal band, like with those mustaches and the hair. And I just think like it's like Styx or something.
Or Kiss. How have we not made that comparison?
Or even Kiss. Yeah. Just the makeup with Kiss. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a Gene Simmons outfit right there. Wow. So they start walking around the Enterprise,
yep.
And they seem to be interesting to me. You know, all the red lights are on, and they seem to be walking with a purpose to me. You know, they almost look like they know where they're going, and I have no idea. As a longtime viewer of Star Trek, I couldn't tell you once by looking at a hallway. Oh, I know where they are. You know, they're on deck B. I still don't know where that is.
Well, I have multiple questions here.
Okay.
Multiple. So the first one is, going back to what Torg originally said, we're outnumbered.
Yep.
You know, he knows he's walking into a death trap because there could be dudes potentially on the other end, either with phasers or ready to attack, and there's only, you know, seven of them. And they're all walking single file down the hallway. There's no spreading out. There's no, like, you go to Sector A, or you go to Sector B, or you go here, you take – no, they're all in single file. They're all together.
Yep.
Like, that, to me, is recipe for disaster one, because everyone's contained. And if there were people on the Enterprise, they would have been all picked off. Like, to me, that's dumb.
Especially for Klingons. Right, they, you know, with a warrior race, you'd think they would have more tactical skills, right? Okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, even break up at twos or threes or something, right? Just to... So, yeah, if some group gets caught, they don't all get caught.
Yeah, so that's my first thing, is that they're all together. And my second thing is, how do they... And maybe you touched on this a little bit, is how do they know where to go?
Yeah, that's
how
what
do
I
they
was...
know? How do they know to go into elevator A and go up? How do they even know anything about the Federation ship at all? Like, do they have detailed files? I have detailed files.
I would think, here's what I think. I think there's a cut scene. They walk out of the transporter room, and across the hall, from the doors open in the transporter room, right across the hallway on the wall, there's a "You are here." it's a map. Seems like a really good place, like a logical place to put it, right? You just beamed onto a ship. You might, you know, this is orientation. Here's where you are. You are here. You know, take a left and get on the next turbo lift and head up for the bridge. So maybe that's what they... You know, they could have, or they could have looked at a computer display. We may have missed something here, but they're definitely walking with purpose. Like, they know where they're going. They just look wary. They just look wary, right? They're like, where is everybody?
Well, they definitely, So they definitely look tactical, because, you know, they do, you know, Torg's leading the bunch, and, you know, they're all looking down the hall, and then you got the guy, he's bringing up the rear. I mean, he's facing backwards, and he is literally like, you know, that they look like they're, you know, they're a crew. But again, I go back to my other thought, which was that they are not spreading out. They're not, like, they're all together. Like, we already know the destruct sequence is going on. Heaven forbid someone has a grenade. Like, you just took out the whole party, and you've saved the ship because you've only damaged one part of it.
Right.
And if this were the Enterprise D, wouldn't they just, like, slam down some of those hallway force shields and just pin them all in?
Oh, you just totally blew my mind with that, because I didn't even think of that. Because, hey, can't you segregate certain sections with bulkheads and doors and force fields and all kinds of stuff?
Yeah, Kirk could have tried a little harder before he pulled the destruct sequence.
And couldn't they simply have just turned off all the power? Like, leave enough power. I mean, everything's automated. Couldn't he told Scotty just to turn that off and just leave the destruct running? And they'd all be stuck in the transporter room. Or they could have not done the destruct sequence anyway and turned off all the power and just waited for them to appear and took them out in the door. I feel like there was just so many options here. Like, why? Now that I'm thinking about it and the whole self-destruct, like, Kirk, what are you doing?
You know what? Let's not pin it on Kirk. Let's pin it on Harv Bennett, who wrote this screenplay.
Okay.
Like this, because I got a beef with him that we'll talk about next week. So yeah, let's just chalk it up to that. So I have a observation.
Yes.
As they're coming down the hallway, it's right about the 16 or 17 second mark. It's kind of a close up of Torg, but over his shoulder there's a panel, lighting, all sorts of lights, blinky lights on it.
Yep.
We talked about, I think last week, the original series self-destruct sequence.
Yeah.
When, you know, Kirk gives his code and this is, you know, Captain Kirk and here's my code, and they cut to the computer.
Yeah.
Going and it has all these blinky lights. That's what that reminds me of, that lighting sequence up over his shoulder. And I'm like, could that have been like a really subtle, you know, nod to the original series there?
Oh, could have been. Yeah, definitely could have been.
It also makes you wonder why are those lights all blinking up there? What is the purpose of that?
Yeah, and it harkens me back to another Shatner great, Airplane 2, when I think he says, what do these lights do? As far as we know, they go back and forth. And, you know, it's what do these lights do? They go in circles, and that's all we.
Yeah, and they're everywhere. There's another great shot a few seconds later. It's actually a really cool shot, looking down, looking straight down the corridor. Everything's lit red, and then the Klingons walk by.
Some sort of overhead. Like, it's got four sides to it, because there's the one side over Torg's shoulder, there's another side down straight down the hallway, and then when you see the guy bringing up the rear, there's another view. It's like a couple different sides there.
Yeah. The red lit hallway for me evoked it was like a the framing of it was very 2001. It made me think of Kubrick, and maybe Nimoy was very proud of this moment, like, oh, I'm gonna get this framing shot, everything's perfectly center and it's all lit really cool. And I just say it's a standout for me.
Definitely, yeah. No,
But it's followed up immediately by a terrible lighting decision. When they get on the bridge, Torg walks into the bridge and they do he looks around for a second, and then the camera camera reverses, and you're kind of looking down into, Sulu Station.
Yeah,
and it looks like it's lit by the recessed lighting I have in my house. It does not do the set any justice.
Well, I think what ruins it is that Torg walks in, and you see that white light over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, if you did that for effect, okay, Nimoy, we know you love to play with the lights, but I think that it just would have looked so much better if it was just all lit in the red. And then when you turn the scene around, like you said, like you're looking almost in the well where Sulu and, Chekhov would sit, that light reflects off the backs of those Klingons, and it looks so dumb.
Yeah, it does. It looks – I mean, it's
– It's either like change the continuity a little bit and have the light shining over Torg's shoulder, and then when you change the perspective, turn that light off.
Right.
Like, it just looks bad. It just looks very bad.
Yeah. And it's, and I mean, it does. It looks bad, but it also makes me really appreciate how much lighting adds to a set. Because I will say, if I got a behind the scenes tour of, you know, the Enterprise set and this is what I saw, I'd be like, oh, well, this sucks. Right? It all looks like it's made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
And that's what the lighting here is doing to that station. I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks terrible. I just noticed as we're talking about it that looking down into Sulu Station, the countdown is on the screen between the two chairs. 24.
I don't think I noticed.
Yeah,
24, 23. I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah. I'm looking to see if it's in sync. It is in sync because you can see the countdown on a couple of other stations in the background.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
All right. I love this podcast, man.
Noticing things 1 minute at a time.
Yeah, 1 minute at a time.
So then, so Torg reports in. Mm-hmm. Says, my lord, the ship appears to be deserted. And, of course, they've checked the entire ship. Right?
Of course, yes.
You know, they know the ship is deserted.
Walk down one hallway, it's empty.
Yep, it's empty. We looked everywhere. That's, you know, like when I was a kid and my dad would say, hey, can you go down to the basement and get me a tool? And I'd literally walk downstairs, pull one drawer and say, I can't find it. And he's like, did you look in? No, I did. Yeah, I did. You know, Dad, I looked everywhere. And he comes down and goes, if I find it. And that's what I'm waiting for Krug to say is like, what do you mean it's deserted? You didn't look everywhere. You're lying. If I come over there.
Did you go to the recreation deck? You can fit the whole crew in there.
What about the Arboretum?
What is the smallest room that you could hide the whole crew in?
All 400 something people?
Yeah. Is it just the recreation deck? Or is it, you know, where else? I don't know. Anyway. The Arboretum. Climbing in the trees.
So then Krug says, he says, how can that be they're hiding?
They're hiding.
Like, like what?
Like, what are you, five?
Yeah, they're hiding, Torg.
That's not fair. No hiding.
Yeah, no. They're playing kick the can.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that line.
Yeah, it's a seasoned warrior. That's,
yeah.
They're hiding.
Those damn weakling humies. So then Torg responds with, yes, sir. But the bridge appears to be run by computer. Now, I want to know how he knows. He's only been there for literally like 5 seconds. How he knows that the bridge is being run by computer.
Well, it's the only thing speaking.
Yeah, I guess. I mean... I know when my computers speak that, you know,
something's wrong,
you know, or when, you know, things are speaking, it must be run by computer.
Hey, did Torg lose all of his Klingon accent in this line? Like, I feel like every time Torg's spoken in this movie, it's been, you know, success, my lord. You know, it's,
yeah,
he's got his, you know, he sounds like a Klingon, but here it sounds like, you know, he's like, it's the only thing speaking. He's completely lost any trace of the voice. We're hearing purely the actor now.
Right. Yeah. And then Krug follows up their hiding line with speaking. Well, let me hear.
That's also a weird request. I like how he shakes his head too. He's like, speaking. Shakes his head. What? What? Like you tell he's totally annoyed with Torg at this point. Like,
oh yeah,
come on.
Like, I should have went over.
Yeah, let me hear speaking. But surprise, surprise.
Yep.
Here we go.
The countdown.
The countdown. Oh my god. It's
Nine,
happening.
Eight. Six. What happened to seven? Just kidding.
Spaceballs.
And then Krug delivering one of the best lines ever. And the way he delivers it, too, is just spot on. You know, get out! Get out of there! Get out! And just the way he jumps out of the chair and, you know, you have that in the camera in the face shot just is perfect.
It is. It's great. Yeah, I had to let you do that one.
Yeah, I love that line. That's fantastic.
It's too bad he didn't do it in Klingon. That would have been probably kind of cool. Chowie! Oh, Chowie!
I don't think that was it.
No, that wasn't
Maybe we'll it. Have to look up the Klingon translations for Get Out.
Now, one of the side effects we've talked about many times doing this podcast, minute by minute, analyzing it second by second, I learned that Klingons have fillings.
And how did you learn that, Chris?
Well, when you shout "Get out" at the top of your lungs with your mouth in the camera.
Yeah.
So you said this moment, this get out of there. That's one of your favorite lines.
It's one of my favorite lines. Ever? I would say it's my favorite, but it's one of my favorite lines in the movie series. Yeah.
Okay. Now it's funny when we were getting started way back 75 minutes ago, or
yeah,
we were starting getting ready to do this season. That was probably the most popular reaction, or, you know, people, oh, you're doing search for Spock, get out of there. I'm like,
oh yeah.
And I remember initially being like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So
Yeah, I think this line is one of the most, I think it's not even just recognizable for this movie. I think it's just one of those things that's in lexicon of, they recognize it as a Star Trek line.
Yeah, that's the thing. It just never stood out for me, but I guess it's just me.
I think it's just you.
There are other, there's other Krug lines even, and they're still coming up. There's two coming in later minutes that are favorites of mine too, but I wouldn't have gone to this one first. Anyway. That's all right. I think it's all right, right? It's all right.
Sure.
Sure. So
I'll allow it.
You'll allow it. So yeah, this, I love the way this minute ends. I mean, you get Krug yelling, but the very last frame of this minute is, Torg, like, kind of turning around in confusion. And the countdown stops at one second.
Typical Star Trek.
Yeah, what a cliffhanger. I'm hoping that in the next minute, the countdown stops.
We shall see until then.
Did you have anything else for...
I didn't.
Okay, you didn't. You're done. Turn it off. Shut it down.
No, I did not have anything else for this minute.
All right. We really haven't done that this season, calling out favorite minutes. I think we forgot to do that. But would this be a favorite minute because of a Krug's yell?
I think this one is it's high up there.
Okay.
And even though it has a great line in there, I actually would probably put the minute before, 74, above that one, just for the whole tension of finishing the code and the dual beaming and, you know, that sort of thing. I think that is just a much more suspenseful. I think I had a couple of issues with the dialogue in this one with Krug and, you know, they're hiding and, you know, speaking, let me hear. I think, you know, as great a line and delivery that Krug gives, I don't know if it necessarily puts that one up there for, you know, oh my God, that's a favorite minute.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you that, yeah, last minute was a favorite minute for me. This one, I probably is like my favorite, you know, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, this moment of, oh, my God, it's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the, what is it? It's not a twist, you know, like a surprise. Like, oh, you know, it's counting down. The countdown, it's at 9, 8, you know, it's like, oh. So that for that moment, it's like, for the audience, like, oh my God, it's actually happening. It's about to happen.
Right.
So, All right, man. Well, why don't we wrap it up then? And I got to get some tissues to get ready for Friday.
Get ready for the next minute.
Yeah. So, folks, I don't know if we've asked you in a while, but if you aren't already, we really encourage you to come on out to Facebook and join the Star Trek Minute Listener Federation. All sorts of fun conversations going on. I love to interact with you folks and talk about these minutes and tangents from these minutes and comic books and Star Trek Discovery and anything else you want to talk about Star Trek. It's fair game. So come on out if you haven't already, and we will we'll talk to you soon. And Dave and I will be back again on Friday talking about Minute 76 of The Search for Spock here at the Star Trek Minute. Bye now.
Goodbye.